I had experience this week. I came from New York City to here. A little different culture, amen? But something got stirred up in the hotel, and Pastor Jerry, who's a wonderful man, he should be a diplomat. He could cause every war to stop, at least for 5 minutes. But anyhow, he said, "Now, Brother Bill, it says that if you give them your peace and they don't receive it and give it back to you, dust off the dirt off your feet and get going, you want to go to this place?" He said, "No, I can't. In Camden, the same people own the same hotel." "And how about El Dorado?" I said, "Jerry, I work in war zones. Some person upset in the hotel is not going to bother me." Hallelujah. So I've had some southern hospitality and hostility, I'm not sure which. But we want to go here tonight, and we want to look to a principle. Where's Cricket? This seems a little jumping on me here tonight. Is it all right? Should be okay, all right? If it's not, I get to blame you or him. Well, here... Boy, the next generation has jaw growth, amen? I mean, mouth getting bigger. But, yeah. I knew that boy before he was married, hallelujah. But anyhow, the book of Luke chapter 2. I was reading the Gospels, and all of a sudden, something popped off the page, and I didn't realize how significant that would be till the Lord, by the Spirit of Revelation, took me through the Scriptures. May I say this? When the Spirit of God shows us things we don't know, when the Spirit of God unveils things like a curtain opens in a theater, that's when we can behold things that no man can teach us. We can behold things that the smartest people on the earth cannot understand. And I'm glad He's the God of Revelation. He can take people that don't see and make them see. He can take people that don't hear and make them hear. He can take people that are unlearned and make them wise, the God of Revelation. And I got good news for you. If you're born again, He's your God. And the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is your portion. And the Lord says, Father, Jesus speaking, "I thank that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've given them to babes, revealed them to babes." So people that are just humble and needy and unknowing, God loves to give revelation to. May God give revelation here in the next two nights. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world," meaning the Roman world, "should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And they all went out to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judah, a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. His wife was great with child." Verse 7, "She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger," because there wasn't any room for him in the inn. When I was just reading the Gospel of Luke, all of a sudden something popped off this page, and I heard a voice, and the Lord said to me, "I brought them to the place where prophecy would be fulfilled. I brought them to the place where prophecy would be fulfilled in their life." And I want to tell you, all of what went on in that journey was not a normal journey. Because they were of the house and lineage of David, God had to bring them to the place that the prophets had foretold in the book of Micah, where Christ himself would be born. It couldn't happen in Jerusalem, couldn't have happened in Samaria, couldn't have happened in Judea. They had to go right to Bethlehem of Judea. And there's a Bethlehem of Judea for all of God's people, a place where prophecy is fulfilled in your life. And I want to tell you, whether you understand it or whether I understand it, all of life is a prophetic journey. God is bringing us to that place where prophecy will be fulfilled in our lives. And God is the only one that can use the good, bad, and the ugly, put it through the cross, make it serve His purpose, and cause evil yet to remain evil. That's why He doesn't say all things are good. He says all things work together for good. And are you glad the worst thing Satan has ever pulled in your life, it must work together for good. I said it must work together for good. Because we're on a journey. God is bringing us to that place where prophecy is going to be fulfilled in our life. And Satan doesn't want us to have renewed minds. He wants us to think like the ungodly. He wants us to believe we're just going through life like we've been going through life. And religious demons want us not to have real revelation. They want us to be like Israel, going in circles in the wilderness, arriving nowhere. So I have been speaking over in Camden. I mentioned about Ruth. And then I spent several days on Joseph. And then I spent last night on Paul. And tonight we're going to go in a different direction, but you're going to see it's a principle that continues. We're going to talk about a guy who definitely started off with some issues, and who it definitely took God quite a few years to break him and make him and take him out of what he was born in into what he was destined to be. We want to talk about Jacob. Hallelujah. And I'm glad when the Lord speaks about who he is, and Jesus would say it, and God would say it from heaven, and the people of God in the Old Covenant, the Israelites, would say it. They would call him the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And that gives me hope, because the God of Abraham, that speaks of faith. The God of Isaac speaks of submission. But the God of Jacob speaks of transformation. And we need transformation, because God doesn't want a people that remain as they are. God wants people that will go from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory. God wants transformation. And he knows how to get us to that place where who he wants us to become will become a reality. Because here they had to go to a city. But most of the time on our journeys, it's not to a physical location, but it's to a spiritual location of deeper grace, deeper faith, deeper brokenness, deeper yieldedness to God. And God uses the various things we go through in life to bring us to that place that we can experience the transforming work of the Spirit of God in our lives. So we want to go back to the book of Genesis. I've been studying that for quite a while. And we want to go to the book of Genesis in chapter 26. Isaac was married to Rebekah. He was the son of Abraham, and his wife had come to him supernaturally. A man was sent out of Abraham's household to get a wife for Isaac, and he went back to their homeland and brought her back. That was quite a story. But she couldn't conceive, and it says in chapter 26, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived, verse 22. And the children struggled together within her, and it looks like she was with twins. That gives me, that brings back to my remembrance something. I was in Indiana, and I was with the pastor, and I was going with him, and his assistant pastor was in the back seat, and his wife, and I turned around, I thought I was joking. I said, "You're going to have twin girls." She said, "No way." She says, "I've got two boys, and they're all I can handle. They're real boys." Hallelujah. Real boys, amen. And we went to a place, if someone took me to today, I'd lay hands on for deliverance, Taco Bell's or something. And we had something to eat, and then when I was eating one of those tacos, all of a sudden, food in my mouth, I said, "Nope, you're going to have twin girls." And again, I thought I was laughing, and I left town, and I didn't go back for 9 years. After I left, she became very ill. They took her to the hospital. They rushed her there, and they said, "You're pregnant." And then they did some things. She went home, and the doctor said, "Get back here." And she was worried something was wrong. And he said, "I have news for you. We did that. We looked at the various things we did, and you're not pregnant with just one child. You're pregnant with two." 9 years later, I came back. There were twin girls that I met for the first time. Hallelujah. So God has a way of multiplying things that come into our life. Hallelujah. To think they're teenagers now. Time goes fast. Flies. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I this way?" She went to inquire of the Lord. Cricket was talking about that tonight. There's things you got to go to God for yourself. If somebody comes to me asking certain questions, I'm not going to answer them. Am I to marry that person? My answer is, I won't tell you, because I don't have to live with her. Or live with him. Hallelujah. You got to figure that out. Very important there. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And it says in verse 25, and when deliverance came, that is, baby born, babies were born, the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and they called his name Jacob. On and on. From the very origin of this birth, something was unusual. Number one, in the Old Covenant, even before the Old Covenant came, when it was a patriarchal society based on conscience before God, serving the one true God, the law of the land, so to speak, was that the elder would have the birthright, the elder would be the leader, the elder would be the one to carry on the family or the clan. But here God was going to do something different. I'm glad God can break the rules when he wants to. Hallelujah. Maybe you shouldn't be here tonight. Maybe everything was against you. But are you glad God's grace can overrule any cultural limitation that's been on you? God's grace can. So here was an unusual birth. They were twins. But something was shown even in that birth. When the second kid came out, he tried to grab his brother's heel. You ever have kids fight over their toys? This was something more than that. This was significant that even from the womb, Jacob wanted something that he didn't yet have and was going to do whatever he had to do to get it. And may I say, though, that tendency would cause a lot of grief in the family and a lot of trouble in his life. When God got through with that tendency, he would be a man that got through to God like no one else did in his generation. I'm glad that God can take our sinful tendencies, put them through the cross, and turn them into godly strengths. Like a person who's full of manipulation can be a person, if it goes through the cross, it can turn into charisma. A person who never can stop talking, if it goes through the cross, can become an evangelist. Hallelujah. A person who's as crooked as the day is long, if it goes through the cross, that can become someone that carries influence and persuasion and even stepping into authority. People's biggest detriment can become their greatest strength. But not apart from God. And that's why when you see some people that are into high levels of witchcraft or high levels of corruption or evil dictators all over the world, the tragedy is their giftings have never been purified. I said their giftings have never been purified. But the good news, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight and show you, the God that we serve is a God when he sees in us prophetic potential. Because even before they were born, God spoke to Rebekah and he said, look, this younger kid you got, he's going to break all the rules because I've ordained him to get into a place he shouldn't get into. He's going to be the leader, not the firstborn. God was going to do a new thing. God was going to break through in family. God was going to change the course of the human race because it should have been the God of Esau, but Esau was going to be bypassed because God would say in the book of Romans, I hated Esau, but I love Jacob. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, God loves people that a lot of times we wouldn't want near our house or in our church because he was called Jacob. Modern English, that could be swindler or a crook. You know any of them? Something wasn't right in him, but beneath of what wasn't right, I tell you, I try not to look at the dirt, because often in people's life, beneath the dirt, there's a lot of gold. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So here, something that's the boys grew, Esau became a hunter. And Jacob was a guy who dwelt in the country. Turn off every cell phone or I get to collect them. Hallelujah. Traveling ministry can really make money that way. But anyhow, how's that, Crick? Is that okay? Anyhow, Jacob was a plain man. He's dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. because he made him venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob was making some pottage, some bean soup, and Esau came from the field and he was weak. And Esau said to Jacob, verse 30 of 26, "I pray you, feed me some of that red pottage, for I'm faint." And Jacob said, "Gnosis, sell me this day your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall my birthright do to me?" And he ended up, the Bible says in the end of verse 34, he gave it to Jacob and he despised his birthright. So here we see what really would go wrong. And the book of Hebrews talks about this and relates it to the root of bitterness. Esau never valued the things of God. Amen. He lived for his immediate needs being fulfilled. Amen. He had a birthright. Everything that was meant to be carried on in that lineage, authority, financial blessing, spiritual life, was meant to be given unto him. But he chose that day, "My physical gratification is more important than anything eternal." Fatal decision. And may I say, where you're going to go and where I'm going to go is not just dependent upon God. If it was only dependent upon God, we could sit by and just relax and do absolutely nothing. But God blesses decisions. God blesses choices. And God will take people that have no potential and are very messed up, but if they make a godly choice and choose to prioritize what God has in their life, He'll turn that mess around. I said He'll turn that mess around. And He'll turn your life around. And He'll bring transformation. Because I want to tell you, the purpose of true prophetic ministry is not to bless you, it's to change you. The purpose of true prophetic ministry is not to leave you as you are, but to help you become what you've never been. The purpose of real prophetic ministry is not to leave you being Jacob, but to bring transformation and a new identity in your life. Amen. So time went on, and Rebecca, this is real bad. Rebecca and her son, they got into a partnership, mom and son. Because it was time Isaac had said to Esau, "Hey, I'm getting old, my eyes are going, before I die, I want to prophesy to you, I want to lay hands on you and release the covenantal blessing into you and your future seed." And he said, "But give me some venison." So he went out in the field to hunt, and while he was did, Rebekah, his mama, heard that, and she went to Jacob and he said, "Look, go to your father. He can't see right. Pretend you're Esau and get the blessing." It's bad enough when the son's corrupt, but when mom and son get in partnership, this is going to get bad. And he said, "Look, if dad sees me, hears about that or can discern it, I'm going to be cursed." And Rebekah says, "Don't worry, I'll take that upon me." And so chapter 27, he came to his father and he said, "Bring it near to me, son, I'll eat of the venison." His mother had killed a goat and made it so the father would think that was. And he came near and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." He came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And he said, "See, this, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord's blessed. And then the Lord give you the dew of heaven and fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. And the people will serve you and nations will bow down to you. And you'll be lord over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. And cursed is everyone that cursed you, and blessed is everyone that blessed you." And as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing, when Jacob was just gone, Esau showed up. My goodness. Here is a guy that cared so much to get a prophecy, he was willing to lie, manipulate, and connive for it. Hallelujah. That wasn't right. But here's the thing I want to say. God knew before he was born that Isaac was going to get caught in this, but that Jacob wanted what God had for his life. And I want to tell you, I don't care how much you've lied, cheated, and stole, or how much you're doing it today. If there's something in you that wants God, I warn you, I promise you, I guarantee you, God's like the Mounties. He always gets his man. You can con your parents, you can con your brethren, you can con some pastor, you can con me, but you're not going to con God. Because before you ever showed up, he had plenty of experience with people worse than you. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd tell you that. You know, it reminds me, I was in a church, where was I? South Carolina. I just come back from Europe, and our culture was different. But I just come back, and I was getting ready to speak in this church, and I saw footsteps in the congregation, like footprints. And I said, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, those are my footsteps. I was here, but I left a long time ago. How would you like to minister in that? Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to be where God was. I want to be where God is. I want to be involved in what God's doing this generation. So here was Jacob. He'd already got the birthright, and now he got the family blessing, the prophetic blessing that the patriarchs would give to their seed. And it ended up that they were going to have to send Jacob away because his brother wanted to kill him. And I want to tell you this. Many times when God speaks things into our lives, there can be consequences from carnal people that get jealous because they want the blessing, but they're unwilling to have the consecration to receive it. They're unwilling to get serious about prophetic revelation. Dear people, we've got to get real serious to hear from God. We've got to get real serious to break into what heaven has for us. I can take you into nations where I go all over the world. That just a generation ago, they were starving, they were dying, their kids had no clothes, it was just horrible epidemics, and today they're prosperous nations because they made decisions to get what God had for their life. And I can take you into other nations, they're still in that mess. I choose to become what heaven has for me. Do you want the prophetic blessing? Do you want the blessing of God? Do you want to make decisions that God can work in your life through? Because I tell you one of the hardest things, in all seriousness, in the South, you got all these churches full of people that aren't transformed. And there's nothing worse than religious devils. I said, there's nothing worse than religious devils. I was in the middle of New York City, and a friend of mine raised up a church in the ghetto, and the police came to him and said, you better get a gun, people will kill you for the offering. And then we found out afterwards, a lot of those storefront churches, how many know storefront churches? Now, this is bad. They were fronts for people's drug deals. They were using it as a front for drugs. So my friend had some challenges planting a church there. Thank God he did. And when the hurricane came, what was the last one? Sandy or one of those? All the Christian aid that came through his church, millions of dollars. And then those poor people realized he's here to bless us, not to hurt us. And the church took off. May the Spirit of God give us a cry for transformation. May the Spirit of God give us a cry for transformation. Because I'm warning you, the worst thing you can do, I said the worst thing you can do is pursue prophecy without a desire to be transformed. Israel got some of the greatest promises of all times that they'd go into the promised land. They saw phenomenal miracles that have never fully been repeated. The Red Sea opening like that and manna falling from heaven every day. But those people died in the wilderness of unfulfilled prophetic revelation because though God brought them out, he couldn't bring them in because they wouldn't be transformed. They had enough of Egypt left in them that they couldn't go into Canaan. But there came a new generation that was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I tell you, some of you have calls in your life, but you're going nowhere until you get certain things transformed in your life. And it's God's mercy you don't, because this is a thing you can, if you know anything about aerodynamics, if a missile goes up and has a small flaw, when it gets in higher altitudes, it'll self-destruct. And a lot of people, when they get into certain realms, their whole life's going to fall apart. If there's defects that God hasn't been allowed to deal with. Now, no one is perfect, but I'm saying we cannot allow things like rebellion or unbrokenness or an unsubmitted lifestyle. I don't care how big your organization is. Too much of that has come crashing down in America. But God wants a people that will become like Jacob, someone that submits to the transforming power of God. Now, if you go to chapter 28, this gets good. Isaac called Jacob right after he cheated his dad out of a prophecy and ripped off his brother. He said, don't marry a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And in verse 3, and God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful. And verse 4, and give you the blessing of Abraham. And he sent him away to his uncle. And while he was journeying to go back to the homeland that Abraham had come from, in verse 10, it said, Jacob went from Beersheba and came to Haran. And he came to a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took stones of the place and put for pillows and lay down to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed a dream. You want to follow me on these next few verses because this sets what we're going to say tonight. And a ladder was set up on the earth, and it reached the top to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and of the God of Isaac. And the land wherein you lie, to you will I give it and your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and it will spread to the west and the east and the north. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In verse 15, behold, I'm with you. Let's look at this. And I'll keep you in all the places where you go, and I'll bring you again into this land, for I'll not leave you until I've done that which I've spoken to you of. God was saying, Jacob, you're going to go a lot of places, but I'm not going to leave you until everything I have spoken to you is fulfilled. God was going to bring Jacob to the place that prophecy would be fulfilled in his life. And this should give us hope. If we are full of issues tonight, if we're full of bondages tonight, if we're hiding things in our life, if we're still very unhealed, I got good news for you. He is the God of Jacob. He's the God that's not going to leave you till everything His Word is spoken and about you and about the church and anything the Spirit adds on to that. God's not leaving until Jacob is transformed. Amen. Jacob woke up and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. I didn't know it. And he said, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. In verse 19, he called the name of the place Bethel. And he vowed to vow. He said, if I come back here, the Lord will be my God. And he says, this pillar I'll make a house of God. And what the Lord's given me, I'll give him 10%. He vowed a vow. Here we see, in spite of all that was in his life, he planned, if God was faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to God. He made a vow. I said he made a vow. This is really incredible, because here was Jacob getting the greatest visitation of God on his life before he was saved. I want to tell you, the God we serve is a God who just doesn't start working in our lives when we come to Jesus. The God we serve is the God who has a lot of prenatal care. Hallelujah. The God we serve is a God, Jeremiah, before I formed you, before you were in the belly, I called you to be a prophet. Are you glad? God has an eternal plan that was already working before you even came into this world. And when you came into this world, before you knew the Lord, God still has been at work. And here was Jacob. He didn't know God. He wasn't saved. He was all type of corruption. But God gave him a visitation that he was going to begin a supernatural process in Jacob's life, because Jacob had had a prophecy, and God says, Jacob, my angels and my name and my personage is going to work in you, because I'm not vacating your life until everything that's spoken to you comes to pass. And when God speaks a word, Jeremiah 1 verse 12, he watches over it to bring to pass. He's the God of Jacob. I said he's the God of Jacob. He is the God of Jacob. And we need this understanding if we're going to have ministry, because a lot of people turn the ministry into a job. The ministry is not a job. The ministry is a lifestyle. And we're not in this just to deal with people that got their act together, because I hate to admit it, none of us got our act together if we compare it to Jesus. We're all in process. But I'm glad in the process. And when there's junk in our life, he is the God of Jacob, the God of transformation. Oh, hallelujah. He got this visitation. And it says in the King James, there was a ladder going from earth to heaven and angels going up and down. But if you do some research in the Hebrew language, it says there was a stairway. I almost broke my leg on a stairway in Holland, spiral staircase. I was coming down, wasn't paying what I was doing, and here was thing, and I caught my one foot under something. There was a chair that goes up and down that thing, and it was just the grace of God that I caught myself, or I would still be on crutches. Jacob didn't have that experience. He's asleep, but I was awake. Hallelujah. But here was a staircase, and angels were going up and down. There was a not an information highway, there was a revelation highway, and God was showing that the angelic powers were going to be for Jacob and not against Jacob. And Jesus in John chapter 1 would quote this. You're going to see greater things than this, Nathaniel. You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He wasn't even saved and had that experience. Now, this gives me hope because working in the Middle East like we do now, in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Israel, God is pouring out His Spirit and unsaved people are seeing Jesus. Muslims and Jews are turning to the Lord by the thousands, Muslims by the hundreds of thousands. I'm glad He's the God of Jacob. He appears before we knew Him, before we wanted Him, before we had any idea about Him, because God needs people to enter into covenant to carry on His name on the earth. Before He knew the Lord, He had His greatest visitation. And I want to identify with that, tell you my testimony. My parents were in business. They were transferred overseas. We were in Brussels, Belgium. And then I was sent away to Swiss boarding school. That was for the elite and rich kids. I wouldn't send my dog to one of those schools. But anyhow, that was supposed to be higher education. The only thing I learned in high school was how to get high. What a waste of time and money. At least I learned some foreign languages. But anyhow, what a hellish thing. And I got healed and what you wouldn't call, I got cross-cultural training because they had Asians and Africans and Americans and Europeans all in the same school. And we're all in the same sin. Hallelujah. But here I was in this one Swiss school. It was the second one I went to. And it was probably the worst one yet. If you had a girlfriend, you just went down to the hotel and signed up and they'd send it to your parents on another auspices. And the headmaster, the guy who owned the buildings and ran the school, he was living with his mistress. And most of the kids were either going into drugs or alcoholism. Here I'm in the, and I was going into all of them. Here I was in the middle of all that. I wasn't what you'd call a God seeker. But the good news is, Jacob didn't find God. God found Jacob. Amen. And here I'm in that Swiss boarding school in Stade, Switzerland, G-S-T-A-A-D. People like Elizabeth Taylor and Mick Jagger and Richard Burton, you'd see them walking down the streets. Very high, supposed society, rich as could be, but evil as could be. So in a place like that, you wouldn't think God would come to anybody because the only time God was mentioned in that school was with profanity. But I want to tell you this. When God's after somebody, He's not going to be restricted by their atmosphere because the atmosphere He has is a lot greater. When heaven comes to earth, hell has to get out of the way. So here I'm in that Swiss boarding school and all type of abominations. And one night, it was harvest time. It was in the spring, and the windows were open. It was quite warm. And I was going to bed. And to backtrack a little bit, things that activated this, looking back, a catastrophe had happened. I called that and a few other choice words. In my family, my mother had gotten saved. And what was worse than that, she decided I would follow her example. However, I said, that was a five-year war that began, and she won in prayer. But she was praying, and she had a young convert that got saved out of an atheistic home show up at a bar where I was one night. And he told me he was going to pray that I'd have an experience with Christ. Well, that would be like me telling someone, or someone telling me, I'm going to pray that you have an alien experience. Because I didn't know what experience with Christ meant. I'm in that Swiss boarding school going to bed. It was, my goodness, 50 years ago. Hallelujah. 50 years ago. I had a pastor in San Francisco say, old man, old man. I said, let's find out who old man is when we went to the gym. And he passed out when we were working out. And I probably was the wrong spirit. I turned around. He's on the floor with his tongue halfway down to his navel. I says, how you doing, old man? That took care of that one. But anyhow, 50 years ago, not seeking God, not wanting God, running from God, like Jacob was running for his life. A light came into that bedroom. It was four people asleep in that room. I was the only one awake. But a light came into that room brighter than any light of the earth. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't know anything about spiritual experiences. But a light came into that room. And for all night long, I had a visitation of God. I saw three crosses in the sky. I saw gates and these winged creatures. I know now they're angels going in and out. And the last part of the visitation was I saw the Lord Himself. I didn't yet know the Lord. Hear me. I've never had a visitation as great as that visitation. I've walked with God now 45 years. I've never had a visitation that intense. That's why when Jacob had a visitation, a vision from God, it was the greatest visitation he ever had. He didn't even know the Lord, and that's my experience. The greatest visit. I've had visions. I've had angels appear to me. I've had dreams. I've had prophecies. I've had trances. But I've never had a visitation as great as that visitation that came to me at 15 years old before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad for the grace of God? Are you glad for the grace of God? Are you glad for the God of Jacob? You don't earn what God has for you. It's called grace. It's through the blood. It's not because you want Him. It's because He wants you. It's not because you measured up. He comes down so that you can go up. May God deliver us from legalism being preached. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's the God of Jacob. But after that experience, Jacob wasn't yet transformed. What didn't? And after I had that experience, that started a 4.5 year, almost 5 year battle that I ended up dying in a police station and being dead in a psychiatric ward. And Christian community in Switzerland prayed me back to life. Just because you have major encounters doesn't mean your heart has been changed and your will has been surrendered. But I tell you, it's a good start. Because after I had that experience, I could never say there wasn't a God. And Jacob could never say there wasn't a God, because he wasn't yet the God of Jacob. He was the God of Abraham and your father Isaac. But God was going to work to personalize Jacob's faith and to bring supernatural change in his life. And I want to tell you, in the prophetic plan of God, God doesn't want you to have hand-me-downs. I said, God doesn't want you to have hand-me-downs. I have a woman I know, her grandfather was a very famous evangelist, and she uses that kind of like manipulatively to get into some places. But I want to tell you this. I don't care what your grandfather had. I don't care what your father had. What do you have? Yes. See, Jacob, I'm going to get you, boy. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. I'm going to hang out with you, and I'm going to be working in you until everything I've spoken will come to pass. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. When people say, I found the Lord, I know what they're saying, but that's really not biblical. The Lord found you. Amen. Are you glad for that? Because if He found you, He's not going to lose you. Amen. We need to get out of some of these heretical Armenian teachings that make people think if they sneeze wrong, they lose their salvation. Man, I used to have a ministry among college kids. If you want to lose hair, that's a good place to do it. Those kids, when they first found the Lord, they were so dumb they didn't know they were dumb, and that's dumb. They'd go out and get drunk, and when they'd get drunk, middle, they'd be sitting there at that bar, and all they could do is talk about Jesus. See, in their immaturity, they had to grow up. I go on and on and on. Because Jacob, I'm after you for my eternal plan, because prophecy, imagine this, prophecy was spoken over Jacob even before he knew God. Prophecy was spoken over Jacob when he was a swindling crook. I once worked nights at this big corporation, and there's this guy I was working with. I couldn't stand him. He was horrendous. Then one night I heard a voice, and the Lord said, he's called to preach the gospel. I looked around, who said that? Then I realized who was saying it. I said, him? Yes. So we were alone, a bunch of people working. We were alone one night, having a break, drinking coffee. And I looked at him and said, I got to tell you something. What? I said, "You're called to preach the gospel." He said, "I don't want to preach the gospel." He knew enough about God not to yet respond. I said, "I don't care. It's not a democracy. You go preach the gospel. Hallelujah." I mean, you can have heel marks all the way to the altar, but you're coming. Say, "I've always won." Yeah, not against God, you haven't. Oh, hallelujah. So let me, for time's sake, tell you what happened. Jacob had to get out of town before he was no longer on the earth. His brother vowed to kill him. And he went back to the homeland that his mother and his grandfather had come from. And he ended up working for his uncle. And this is the thing, like his one son would accomplish in the generations to come. When Jacob started to work for Laban, Laban started getting blessed like he'd never been blessed. And this is the thing I want to tell you. If God has his hand on someone's life, they can be messed up but still blessed. They can be messed up and be a blessing. Do you know why? Because the prophecy, whether they like it or not, the prophetic plan of God for their life and family is already in embryonic form, and it's not going to be aborted by their foolishness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad for the God of Jacob? I tell you, God's not going to be stopped. When God has his prophetic decrees that he's spoken over a lineage, over a family, over an individual, over the most wicked person, God is going to keep working until it comes to pass for the glory of God. And that's for individuals, that's for families, and that's for nations. I work in a nation that has the biggest per capita revival on the face of the earth. You can go out in an afternoon and have 1,000 people saved. Just a generation ago, it was one of the hardest places in the world to get people to come to Christ. The nation of Cambodia. But God prophetically spoke about revival there. And then the communists just murdered the small church that had been birthed out of their first revival. Just about 6,000 people throughout the country. But the blood of the martyrs is a seed of the church. Today, as much as 30% of that nation's come to Christ. Millions of people. I said millions of people in less than 20 years. Are you glad God is the God of Jacob? He redeems what he's after. It doesn't matter if it's a difficult nation. God's a lot more difficult than that difficult nation or any nation. So here, Jacob went back to his father-in-law, started working for him, and all of a sudden, different day, he fell for one of his cousins. Marriage went on. She had a veil. The marriage night, he got a shocking surprise. It was not Rachel. It was Leah. His father-in-law had tricked him. And then he freaked out. Imagine that, on your marriage night, it's not the one you thought you were supposed to going to marry. And you'd work 7 years for it. Talk about what you reap what you sow. The crook got out crooked. And he said, "What happened to his father-in-law?" Oh, in our country, it's the culture. You get the firstborn before you get the second. So I had to work 7 more years for Rachel. As time went on, he had children. He increased. He also set up almost like a pyramid scheme and ripped off his father-in-law. But the Lord spoke to him in chapter 35, and God said to Jacob, "Arise up and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar unto God that appeared to you when you fled from the face of your brother Esau." I want to tell you this. All those years, perhaps 20 years, somewhere in that interval, that he'd been working for his uncle, God had finally brought him to the place that door was going to shut. And Laban didn't favor him like he once did. You know, a lot of times when God wants you to go into the next place in your life, he's going to shut doors where you are. The favor you once had is not going to be there. I said the favor you once had is not going to be there. Example, I used to love Vietnam. They wanted to send me there during the Vietnam War, but I sent them my prison psychiatric ward records, and that's the last I heard from them. Hallelujah. That took care of my military service. They're probably afraid I'd join the other side in those days. But anyhow, and I probably would have, but anyhow. When I got saved, we had a ministry detoxing people from NAM, though that was a horrendous job. But when God sent me to Vietnam supernaturally through prophecy, I loved the country, I loved the place, and they love Americans, and it's a beautiful place, and on and on and on. Even got given a Vietnamese daughter, and she's raised and married to a guy that used to travel with me. But I loved Vietnam, and then one day, the protection lifted. And when I get off the airplane in Vietnam, it's like the war starts all over again, but with demonic forces. I said, how can this be? I love Vietnam. I want to retire there. It's cheap. You can really live a good life for very little. And my wife told me, she said, I think the covering has lifted because God wants your son to take over Asia. Wives can be prophetic at times. Hallelujah. And you see, the cloud is leading me to the Middle East. And I can't do Iraq, Iran, Israel, Afghanistan, that whole area, and try to do Asia too. But off of Jacob's life came favor. And if you feel the favor of God's coming off your life, or if it ever will, in a neighborhood, in a job, in a relationship, and it just, for some reason, doesn't return, it's because God's moving you on. I said, God's moving you on. God's moving you on. Because he served Laban for almost 20 years, but God was going to move him back because God says, I'm going to give you this land, Jacob. So he headed back. He went to Bethel. Excuse me. He went to Bethel. But something was going to happen. In the process of getting there, chapter 32, he's headed back. God told him to leave his father-in-law. He's headed back, and he's going back to what we would call Canaan land today, or Israel today. And he heard this, your brother's coming to meet you, Genesis 32, verse 6, with 400 men. And it wasn't a welcoming party, it was a war party. Here was Jacob going back into what God prophesied to him, and here was the most threatening life experience he ever had. Like, all of his past was coming back to get him. But it wasn't meant to destroy him, it was meant to be dealt with. And then may I tell you this, God doesn't want you to bury your past, God doesn't want you to ignore your past, God doesn't want you to run from your past, God wants to deliver you from your past and help you conquer your past. And there's some people, they can't have a normal marriage because they're still carrying on what happened in their father-daughter, father-son relationship. And I walked through that. I had to get healed. No, I didn't have to go to Vietnam. We had Vietnam in our family. I don't like dry preaching either. Thank you. So here was Jacob, and we want to end with this tonight. Because this makes the difference between night and day. Go to chapter 32 of Genesis. Jacob had sent all his family away. Rachel, he hid the best. The rest of them were after that. But notice this, Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. God knows how to get you just alone with him. Where it's not your father, not your brother, not your sister, not your boss. Break it down. Not your race, not your age, not your gender. Have you ever noticed in North America how people are using more excuses not to change and to blame other people? You think government's bad here? Come with me to some of the countries I go to. You'll come running back here. Hallelujah. You talk about corrupt. If they want your wife, if they want your daughter, if they want your house, you have no rights in some places I go. Thank God for America. I said, thank God for America. We have sin, but thank God for America. Jacob was left alone. He couldn't outcon his father. He couldn't use his mother in a swindling. He couldn't grab his brother's heel. He couldn't steal a birthright. He was left alone. Now, may I say this? Isaiah said, "Woe is me," when the Lord appeared to him in a dream of revealing the throne and the holiness of God. "Woe is me! I'm undone." Notice, note, "Woe is ye." When people are in the blame game, you know, somebody else is the reason I am what I am. They're not yet transformed. When you blame others, how many hear that? You're not yet transformed. And that's why we can't let the devil's people make us blame others. Now, I've always been blessed to start churches where others have failed or where others wouldn't do it. And we had the first African church, my son and I, in Eastern Europe. And it was a prophecy he had when he was 3 years old that he gave himself. So I like to do the unusual. But this is the thing I'll tell Africans, I'll tell Americans, I'll tell Cambodians, I'll tell Vietnamese, I'll tell any person of any race and any age. If you're blaming anyone for who you are today, you're not yet transformed. We got to get out of this because, hear me, the devil's people make all these excuses why they're messed up. The truth is, they're messed up because they're messed up, period. And you don't blame anyone. Look, I know what it is to be in child abuse. I knew what it is to be in every filthy sin imaginable. I know that, but that was nailed on the cross. And I'm not going to make an excuse to not grow. And I'm not going to make an excuse not to get transformed. We've got to get a revelation that we serve the God of Jacob. Amen. And we're going to be transformed because we've got prophetic word and prophetic purpose over our lives, and God's not going to stop till he's like the Mounties and always gets his man. That visitation you had 20 years ago, Jacob, I'm coming to cash in on you. You're left alone. You imagine how he felt. 400 people are coming to kill me. My brother would have been bad enough, but he's got 400 people. He's going to steal my wives. He's going to steal my children. He's going to steal my wealth. He's going to steal my animals. When you begin to realize the consequences of sin, it's a horrible thing. Jacob was left alone. He was in a place that he needed, what you'd say around here, some fixin'. Hallelujah. Truth of it is, all of us are broken. We need some fixin'. Is that all right? Marlboro? His name's Yarborough, but I call him Marlboro. Hallelujah. We need some fixin'. Jacob was left alone. Hallelujah. The spotlight of reality was shining on him. I know this crazy pastor's kid. He caused his father nothing but trouble. It's in California. The police were after him from household, from yard to yard, and they had this spotlight on him. Somehow he got out of it. The police couldn't catch him. But I want to tell you, when the spotlight of God shines on us, you're not going to outdo God. I said, you're not going to get out of what God's after. You're not going to get... See, God got Jacob to this place. Finally, he couldn't get him when he was in his father's house. Couldn't get him when he was in Laban's house. Couldn't get him when he became a wealthy farmer, you might as well say, a farmer raising animals. He couldn't get him that, but he sure got him here this night. Jacob was left alone. And may I say this, God knows how to bring you to that place. The transformation is going to happen in your life. God's going to do something in all our lives, in all people's lives that he's hands on to get them that place. Because Jacob, I'm not leaving you till everything I spoke comes to pass. Amen. You have promises God's given you that haven't yet happened? Do you have things that you thought God was going to do and years have passed by and you're not at ground zero, You're not at the bottom of the barrel. You have to lift the barrel and you're under it. You say, what is going on? Time has passed, but not the promises of God. I said, time has passed, but not the promises of God. And I don't care what happens to the devil's people. I got promises in my life. And I've got prophetic destiny in my life. And God has spoken things that haven't come to pass. And they must before I die. I knew a guy who was on an airplane coming out of the Bahamas. A true story. And he was in a plane he shouldn't have been on. And you could even, there was a hole in the part of the wall. You could see into one of the wings. And then all of a into the mechanics of the wing. And all of a sudden he went, "What's that?" And they looked, and behold, right in that through that hole, there was smoke and there was a fire starting in that wing. And a smoke filled all the plane, and they're screaming out and crying. And all of a sudden this guy shouted out, "People, don't worry. I'm a man of God, and God just told me my ministry's not over." Everybody calmed down. About 20 minutes later, they landed in Miami, and they got off fine. When you got a word over your life, and God's spoken things in your life, you can't leave this world until it's fulfilled. You can't. Impossible. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him to the breaking of the day. Now, I want to talk about what you have to do to fully be transformed. Again, if you, if me, if anyone is blaming people for who you are, where you are at or where you're not at, you're at a place that you haven't yet been transformed. I've learned in counseling, if people are blaming others, they're giving themselves a demonic excuse that keeps them in bondage. And you can't get any relationship healed until people take personal responsibility. Amen. See, Jacob the crook was going to get changed by the grace of God. And he wrestled with a man until the start of a day, till the dawning of a day. And when he saw that he didn't prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, I've had people tell me, "Well, we don't wrestle with God, we just wrestle with principalities," Ephesians 6. That's true to a point, but here was Jacob wrestling with someone that wasn't a man. Jacob was wrestling with what some Bible scholars believe when it talks about the angel of the Lord here, not with an angel, but a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the God of Jacob showed up. And Jacob was wrestling. And I like what happens. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." And he said, "I won't let you go except you bless me." Here was this guy, always determined to have it his way and get what he wanted. All of a sudden, he cried out for the blessing to come God's way. He was wrestling for his destiny. Do you want to wrestle for your destiny? Do you want to break out of confines? Do you want to break out of unfulfilled prophecies? Do you want to break out of parts of your life that have never come under the Lordship of Christ? Do you want to come into personal fulfillment, or are you willing to just have promises that have been given, visit you've had that have not brought transformation? But may I say, the God of Jacob is a God who brings people to the place that the old passes away and the new begins, because God said your name will be, the angel said your name will be no more called Jacob but Israel, for as a prince you have power with God and men, and you've prevailed. And Jacob, verse 30, called the name of the place Peniel. He said, "For I've seen God face to face. I know what this was." He saw the Lord Jesus in his life was ever changed, because this night Jacob died and Israel was born. Transformation happened. The God of Jacob is a God of transformation. The God of Jacob is a God who visits us initially to awaken us, but then he visits us in his full plan to not just bless us, not just promise to give us promises, but to supernaturally end who we are so we become who he calls us to be, the redeemed of the Lord. I said, the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord. See, all of us who know the Lord Jesus, we're not a part of the Adamic race. We've gone from death to life. We're a part of the redeemed race. We are an eternal people that are going to live forever, starting now. We're in Christ. How many are glad you're in Christ? So I know the heathen have to fight and have to lie and have to, you know, this identity, I'm a woman or I'm a this or I'm a that. Hear me. I want to tell you this. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to go down into that nonsense. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad for the God of Jacob? He's the God who brings us to that place. What was the place that Jacob's prophecy came to pass? Jacob's prophecy came to pass when he met God face to face. he wrestled for his destiny. He wrestled for his life. And he came out of this when he saw Esau, rather than Esau killing him, Esau kissed him. And their relationship was healed. And the covenant was fulfilled because Jacob would bring forth 12 sons who would become the 12 tribes of Israel, who would become the nation of Israel through which Christ would come. And Jacob, the crook, would carry such a prophetic anointing. He'd prophesy over those 12 children, and everything he spoke is still being fulfilled in the world today. This is the 12 different governmental things that happen in God's people. And then Jacob had such a prophetic anointing, he would lay hands on Pharaoh, the greatest world leader at that time, when he went to see his son Joseph in Egypt, and he blessed Pharaoh. Who would have thought such a crook could carry such a prophetic anointing himself? Who would think such a messed up man would get so radically changed? That's the God of Jacob. He takes us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He takes us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, to just people that have potential, to people that have complete fulfillment of potential. If you're here tonight, and you've got some things you know God has in store for you, but they're not happening, I got good news for you. He's not abandoning ship till you get to your port of destiny. He's the God of Jacob. And Jacob was left alone. And God knows how to bring us to that place of brokenness, breakthrough, and the ending of our own abilities and strength. Because after this time, Jacob never walked like he used to walk. He walked with a limp. And it's been said, if someone doesn't limp, don't trust them. They're still strutting. Hallelujah. The God of Jacob. You see, that was a prophetic name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob didn't become Israel by his own work. God brought him to that place that everything he spoke unfolded. He brought him to his Bethlehem of Judea. He would fulfill something Abraham wouldn't fulfill. Who would have thought that? He would have 12 children who would become the 12 heads of the tribes of Israel. Who would have thought that? He would raise up a son, Joseph, who would become a world leader. Who would have thought that? You never know what's going to come out of Jacob. You never know what's going to come out of your life. You never know what's going to come out of your past. You never know what's going to come out of your sins. You never know what's going to come out of your failures. You never know what's going to come out of things you wish you'd never done. Are you glad God can take the mess and turn it into a masterpiece? God can take your loss and turn it into supernatural gain. God can take your failure and make it stepping stones into your place in God's grace and power. I'm glad for the God of Jacob. Are you glad for the God of Jacob? Are you glad to be a part of the God of Jacob? Are you glad that you were Jacob, but now you're Israel? And God is calling you to wrestle for your identity. Don't settle for an unbroken state. Don't settle to just have prophecies. Become a people in whom the Word of God comes to pass. And all of us have to wrestle for destiny, for ourselves, and at times for the lives of others. May the Holy Spirit give us some real aggressive, violent tendencies in the spirit world. Not with people, but in the spirit world. That we wrestle for what God says is ours. Oh, hallelujah. And I've got good news for you. Regardless what's wrong in your life, He's the God of Jacob. Regardless what is yet unfulfilled, He's the God of Jacob. Regardless if Esau is after you to destroy you, He's the God of Jacob. Because He'll make your enemies, Isaac said, bow before you. Nations will come before you. And through you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. You are someone of influence because you're connected as the children of Abraham to the promises of God in covenant. Amen. May the Spirit of God stir us to believe. The God of Jacob is the God of transformation. Amen. And He does what He's promised. Amen. I end with this. One of my favorite testimonies. A friend of mine was preaching in a church up in Canada. It was with Indians, Native Canadians. And all of a sudden, he's preaching and God's beginning to show up. And all of a sudden, like preaching, the Spirit of God's moving, maybe 150 people or more there. All of a sudden, the door opens and a guy comes in. Blankety, blank, blank, and started knocking over chairs. He was drunk, big native guy. And my friend, God puts the right people in the right places, used to be a cage fighter. So he had an African-American assistant with him. He says, "Johnny, you take over the service. I'm taking care of that. Come." This guy was big. He was about 6'4", native, big. And my friend Jeff took him out, arm behind, slammed him up against the wall outside the church, you know, in good Christian fellowship. And the guy's yelling and screaming. And all of a sudden, an English missionary came and said, "Sir," I went to an English school, "Sir, what are you doing?" And my friend says, "I'm getting ready to cast out the devil. Hang around and see." And that missionary ran for him. He's scared to death. So in the midst of such a zoo, the power of God fell, and that native guy collapsed to the ground, and the devil was being cast out. And all of a sudden, my apostolic friend Jeff sees this beautiful native woman come in, well-dressed and looked beautiful. He said, "Excuse me, will you help me pray for this man?" He felt led to ask that. She dropped to her knees, started crying and praying in tongues. He thought, "Who on earth is this woman?" And she looked up. She said, "Don't worry, that's my brother." She said, "My father was a great chief over all these different tribes in this region. He was a great evangelist and on and on and on, pastor. But we had one brother in our family who was the black sheep of the family. Here he is. In jail, in fights, in all type of stuff. But my father prophesied that before he would be dead and buried, my brother would come back to Christ, would come to Christ, never had. Here he is today, getting delivered." She said, "My father died yesterday, he's going to be buried tomorrow, and my brother is getting right with God today. Are you glad for the God of Jacob? Are you glad for the God of Jacob?" Prophecy to change destiny. Prophecy to change family. Prophecy to change legacy. That's the God of Jacob. And I know quite a few Jacobs today. Many times I give up on them, but God hadn't. There was a well-known evangelist who started Teen Challenge, Dave Wilkerson. And he showed up in a prison one day, and here were guys that used to be in his program that wouldn't surrender to Christ. Now they were in prison. And they looked at him and they said, "Don't worry, Brother Dave, it was delayed reaction. We found Christ in here. He's the God of Jacob. He knows how to get you alone. He knows how to make you someone who has to wrestle for your salvation, for your transformation, for your impartation, for your anointing, for your calling, for open doors, for miracles, for legacy, for fulfillment. Because God knows how to bring us to that place in all our lives, our Bethlehem of Judea, where prophecy will be fulfilled. And dear ones, the purpose of true prophetic ministry is not to bless you, it's to transform you. It's not to touch you, but to cause you to be someone that is transformed by the anointing and the presence of God, that you make a difference on the earth and you leave a blessing to the generations to come. Because what happened this night in Genesis 32 still blesses us here tonight. May God release transformation in El Dorado. May God release supernatural transformation. May He pour out His Spirit, and may He get people where they need to be. May He get people where they need to be. And I have total faith because He's the God of Jacob. He knows how to get the corruption out of individuals, out of families, out of cities, and out of nations. He's the God of Jacob. May I say, He's overactive right now in America. The heathen don't like it. The heathen don't understand it. But it's going on in the natural realm, and it's going to go on in the spirit realm. I believe the God of Jacob is getting ready to bring people back to Bethel. As we close here tonight, could we stand in His presence? You know, the devil wants you to think, because so much time has passed, it's too late. Can't be. But I want to guarantee you this. God, if He has things for you, they can be delayed, but not denied.
Amen.
They're not dead. They're just sleeping. That's what Jesus said about a dead girl once. And we all have failure, and we all have corruption. And we all blame others, but God wants that to end. He wants us to have a fresh vision of Jesus, God face to face, like Jacob of old. Can we pray tonight, please? Father, we thank you here tonight that the God of Jacob is on the throne. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down the heavenly staircase and was born a virgin. Born of a virgin. And he came into a sinful world as a sinless Savior and grew up and was anointed of God and then taught, healed, delivered, raised the dead, was falsely accused, crucified, dead, buried, but he arose. He came to deliver us from every Jacob-like mindset and Jacob-like corruption. Our God came down to destroy in us what we can't destroy in ourselves. And I pray a wrestling spirit to come on God's people to wrestle, not for just salvation, but for destiny, destiny, destiny. They're not called to be Jacob. They're not called to be corrupt. They're not called to be lust-filled. They're not called to be full of fear. They're not called to be full of pain. They're not called to be full of sickness. They're not called to that. They're called to be Israel, one that has power with God and with men and will prevail. Because you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I pray that the God of Jacob would visit this community tonight, would visit every family here tonight, and give people faith for transformation and fulfillment. Like you brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem of Judea, that was the place where prophecy was fulfilled. You brought Jacob first to Bethel, then to Peniel, the place where prophecy would be fulfilled in him. Do it, Lord, and surprise us what you can do through Jacob's. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call forth legacy. I call forth destiny. I call forth transformation. I call forth breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I call forth visitation. Let angels break upon us, God. This country needs this type of visitation where Jacob dies and Israel's born. Come, Holy Spirit, and do it. Come, Holy Spirit, and blow upon this community with the wind of God. Come, Lord God, and outfox the crafty, and outfox the cunning, and outfox the deceitful, and outfox the corrupt. God, do a new thing. Transform! Transform whole family lines. People with money, people with influence, people with power. God of Jacob, do it. Let dreams and visions begin to be released over your people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. He's the God of Jacob. I can identify with that because God knows I needed transformation and God knows I need more transformation. I'm going to wrestle for it. I'm going to wrestle for what God has for me. I'm going to wrestle for what God has for my seed. I'm going to stand for the perfect will of God. Because I don't want to be an Esau. I don't want to despise my birthright. I'll do whatever I have to get a word from God. Because I want what heaven wants. And I know there's things I got to go through to get things out. And I've had to go through them. Here tonight, I encourage you. He's the God of Jacob. Your sins are not too great to hinder the inheritance and the purposes of God in your life. It's not a sin problem. It's a desperation problem. We need to get desperate. We need to get diligent. We need to wrestle for our destiny. And the good news is, when Jacob began to wrestle, God wrestled with him, not against him. God spoke prophetically. And from that night on, that man never walked the same. That man never was the same. He saw God in a way he'd never had. He had a supernatural prophetic vision and fulfillment. Before he had a supernatural prophetic visitation, but it touched him, but it didn't transform him. But that night, the transformation came. There's a time, there's a season of supernatural transformation. The God of Jacob. Come, Lord Jesus. as we're in the presence of God tonight, if you're here tonight and this message is spoken to you and you see the need of transformation in your life, you're sick and tired of having promises that aren't fulfilled and you want God to make a difference, get up here and we're going to pray a prayer of faith over you and believe God to do something supernatural. You want the games to stop. You want the blame to stop. You want the hindrances to stop. You want the curses to be broken. You want the limitations to come off your life. You want the hurt to be healed. You want the lies to be undone. You don't want to be a rebel. You don't want to blame other people. You don't want to be someone that has a call that never happens. You don't want to make the ministry an idol so that God cannot fulfill His word. You want to make the ministry a servant, not an idol. You don't want to blame others, but you want to say, I want to change by the grace of God. I want visitation. God of Jacob, come to this church tonight. God of Jacob, come to this church tonight. Transforming God of heaven, come to this church tonight. Let all pain, let all word curses that fathers spoke or teachers spoke or mothers spoke over life be canceled out in the name of Jesus. Every demon of pride, every demon of fear, every demon of deep hurt, every devilish thing that society has spoken against you, every lie that the heathen is trying to release on America to divide fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and people groups, I curse the curse. I curse the lies of the powers of darkness. We don't serve the gods of the heathen. We serve the God of Jacob, and we will be transformed, and we wrestle in the Spirit. Begin to pray in tongues now. Begin to war right now. Wrestle for your death. Yesterday, I release the wrestling anointing for transformation. I release the wrestling anointing for divine intervention. I release the anointing over you to get where you are, to where you need to be. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the God of Jacob do a new thing in people's minds, hearts, marriages, businesses, and above all, spiritual life. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Wrestle for your destiny. Don't say you're too old. Don't say you're too young. Don't say you failed. Don't say your marriage fell apart. Don't say your body's sick. Don't say you did too much. Don't say you did too little. Don't say you're not smart enough. Don't say you cheated. And don't say you failed. Say the grace of God is mine, and I will not let Satan keep me out of my promised land. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment on you. The judgment came on Christ at the cross, and we refuse not to receive the mercies of God here tonight.